don't think there's anything more important than awakening and also knowing what your purpose is. And for the next 10 weeks, author and spiritual teacher Eckhart Tolle and I will be here in our virtual classroom here on Oprah.com every Monday, 8 p.m., be on time for class.
Did you know that almost 500,000 people at any given point were online for Oprah and Eckhart Tolle when they were teaching their class in the evenings on the New Earth? Eckhart Tolle's book. That's a lot of people being reached with the message of Eckhart Tolle. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're going to be talking about Eckhart Tolle's best-selling book and what he means by New Earth and what he means by spirituality and what he means by talking about, oh, ego, intense, wanting. These terms that you may hear if you've read the book recommended and so much loved by Oprah Winfrey. Our call-in number this afternoon, 1-877-623-MY-IE. We are coming to you live this Monday, the 28th of July. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Rich Abanis is a regular guest. He's an investigative journalist in Southern California, and he's an award-winning author of 20 books, including his latest, A New Earth, An Old Deception. Rich, welcome back.
God, it's so good to hear you back. That's the issue for me.
Hey, thank you. And I got to thank you. I know I did, I think, in writing, but I got to thank you especially for being a signatory on that online petition. It meant an awful lot to see your signature there.
Well, it meant a lot for me to put it on there, and it was rightly deserved. I mean, you and I go back a long way, and we've had our disagreements about a number of issues, but the bottom line is that you stand up for the gospel, you stand for truth, and you talk about issues that need to be talked about, and so I am just praising God that you're back on the air.
Well, Rich, it means an awful lot to hear you say that, and thank you very much.
And on to Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah, why is it, Eckhart Tolle, whoever it is, why is it that these new spiritual teachers, every single one of them, wants to say something like, hey, I'm not teaching anything other than what Jesus taught? Why do they always drag Jesus into this?
Well, this is a theory I have, and I can't prove it, but it's my feeling that people can, by just reading Scripture, understand and see the power, the majesty, the deity, the truth, the love, the everything that makes Christ unique, and they can see it in Jesus, and they want that in whatever belief system they happen to be a part of. And, you know, they don't want everything that goes along with having the real Jesus, so what they do is they try to hijack him and try to hijack his words and make it fit what they want to believe.
So when Eckhart Tolle says something about Jesus or a Christ consciousness, and it kind of seamlessly goes over into things that Christians would consider to be part of the Christian faith, it really is an attempt to, what, borrow credibility from Jesus?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there is no one in the history of the world like Jesus Christ. No one. He's unique. Even on, if you're talking a secular scale, not to just mention who he was as a person and what his work and ministry was, but just on a secular level, he changed the way we measure time. So if you're going to have a religion or start being a spiritual teacher, quote unquote, you're going to want to give to yourself, impart to yourself some measure of credibility and power and authority. And the one who had the greatest authority was God the Son himself, Jesus Christ. So you're going to try to take that.
I want to listen a little bit to Eckhart Tolle himself explaining a few things, and then I want you to interpret for us so we understand exactly what he means, and therefore we can get to what it is he is teaching through his popular book, his best-selling book, A New Earth. As to the meaning of the title, here's Tolle himself.
A New Earth, of course, the words come from the Bible. They appear in the Book of Revelations, the whole man-made order of things collapsing. That's what it is about, symbolically. And then when it's all collapsed, the writer says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. That's what it says. And the way I see that is a new heaven is a new consciousness that is arising. This is causal in humans. It's the transformation of human consciousness. It's the inner. Heaven is the inner world. A new earth is the outer manifestation of the transformed consciousness.
That's Eckhart Tolle speaking at one of his retreats, spiritual retreats. So can you explain to me what he was saying there, Rich?
Sure. Basically, the first thing you have to understand is that when Eckhart Tolle quotes anything from the Bible, he interprets it not according to context, not according to language, not according to history or cultural backdrop. He interprets it using something called an esoteric system of interpretation, which means he relies on his own inner illumination or enlightenment or knowledge. This is very close to Gnosticism, where he can read the words and get the impression from the words what they really mean. And so what happens is he can read something like this passage out of Revelation and basically make it say anything he wants it to say. And he does this with all of the biblical passages he references. In this one, he has reinterpreted heaven, a new heaven, to be indicative of a new inner shift in consciousness, a new inner understanding or enlightenment of yourself as being God, as being this pantheistic one is all and all is one essence that permeates the universe. And then the new earth is supposedly how the earth is going to be transformed into a realm of peace and joy and harmony as a result of all humanity making this spiritual leap of consciousness and of spirituality, understanding their own divinity.
Okay, then, let's just do a little bio, if we could, before we go on to a little deeper, because he's going to talk about going deeper and deeper and deeper into one's self as time goes by. Who is Eckhart Tolle himself?
Well, that's a great question. A lot of people don't really know. This guy seemed to just appear mysteriously a few years ago. We know that he is fairly well educated. We know that he had a terrible upbringing as a young boy, a child. He had thoughts of suicide ever since he was a young boy, all the way up until he was about 29 when he was about ready to kill himself. And the night on the verge of his suicide, he had this sort of mental psychological breakdown where he actually sort of dissociated from the world around him, and he experienced this phenomenon that has been reproduced through, you know, drug inducement, trauma, where you actually, the borders of the self break down and you lose your sense of self and you feel you are one with the universe. And this is what he interpreted as a spiritual step forward, and that is what he basically bases everything on. And after that, he became a street person, basically a transient, who was preaching to other street people, and one thing led to another, and this is where the years get sort of foggy. We don't know how exactly this happened. It's never been talked about, but he eventually got a book deal, and probably, I'm guessing, due to his education, and that helped open some doors, and he was a New Ager that got very popular. Oprah picked up on him, and the rest, they say, is history.
So out of the mists of obscurity into probably worldwide fame, Eckhart Tolle, we're talking about his book, A New Earth. Rich Abanis is our guest, award-winning author of 20 books, including his latest, A New Earth, An Old Deception. Our call-in number as we come to you live this Monday, the 28th of July, 1-877-623-MYIE, or our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Now, we know that Dan Brown, author of The Da Vinci Code, is a former high school English teacher. His credentials there are a little thin for someone to rewrite Christian histories. Do guys like Brown and Tolle become experts in areas of – how do we make them into experts – in areas of religion, history, and art, and the like?
Well, they're not experts. They don't know the first thing about these issues, but they have an education, and that gets them going a long way. I mean, you can often say, well, I have a master's here, or I have a doctorate here, and, you know, it opens doors, which is a great thing, but also there's a danger where people think just because you have your master's or a doctorate that you are somehow truly smarter than everyone else, and you're not. It's just that you've completed a certain course of study, and you know some things, but that doesn't mean you know about everything. And what these guys do is they start writing on topics that they don't know about, and if they do know about it, their research and investigation is extremely skewed, and they have an agenda, and they use their intelligence and the knowledge they do have to twist facts, twist history, twist the Bible, so that, you know, your poor average Christian out there almost doesn't have a means to understand why it's all wrong, and then confusion reigns, and it's a whole problem.
All right, here's another piece from Eckhart Tolle. I mentioned before going deeper and deeper and deeper. This is where going deeper, he says, will lead you.
We are here to explore the deepest truth of who you are, because you are human existence. We are here to explore the deepest truth within yourself, knowing yourself at the deepest level. A level so deep that knowing yourself and knowing God become one and the same.
About 30 seconds to begin a response to that, Rich, before we take our break.
Just basically, this is a hint, a subtle reference to his pantheism that he teaches, which basically says it comes from Hinduism that all we see is an illusion, and the underlying reality, the only reality, is this one essence of the universe, the life force that is really the true identity of who and what we are inwardly. And that is what he says. You must find out who you are. You are God.
When he comes back, Rich is going to explain to us what Eckhart Tolle means by egoic illusion. I heard a lot of that when I was listening to some of the video. Trapped in the ego, intense wanting. It does sound to me an awful lot like the religions of the Far East. I wonder if there's anything new here at all, or if it's just the same old new age. Richard Bonas is our guest, author of 20 books, including his latest, A New Earth and Old Deception.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Genesis or evolution, the science is the same.
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the book, How Could a Loving God?
Did you know that the opposite views of origins, creation and evolution, come from the same science? You see, it's not really a debate about science of the present, but beliefs about the past. I run into this problem all the time when I talk to people who believe in molecules to man evolution. They say my views are based on religious beliefs, but their views are supposedly based on science. But I say to them that I have the same science they do. You see, the science is no different if you're a creationist or an evolutionist. Evolutionists believe in genetics and natural selection, so do creationists. That's real science, which we observe today. The difference isn't science, but history. Evolutionists believe that over millions of years, animals and plants have changed into totally new kinds. But creationists believe in Genesis, which says that God created unique kinds which reproduce after their own kind. We can use science today to test these beliefs about the past. Do we observe animals changing into new kinds? No. So the science of the present confirms the creationist beliefs about the past.
You might be surprised to learn that dinosaurs actually confirm the book of Genesis. How? Well, read Ken Ham's wonderful booklet, What Really Happened to the Dinosaurs. We'll send 10 of these to you for your donation of any amount today. Call us toll-free, 1-888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS, or on the web, answersoffer.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Are you familiar with Eckhart Tolle and his best-selling book, A New Earth? He sure is popular. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Rich Abanis is our guest. We're walking through some of what Eckhart Tolle is teaching through his new book, A New Earth. Can you explain a few terms to me before we go on and hear some more from Tolle? He talks about an egoic illusion. This sounds kind of sophisticated. He talks about being trapped in the ego. He seems to be borrowing terms from Freud.
Right, Right. He borrows terms and ideas and thoughts from actually all over the place. You know, psychology, Hinduism, Buddhism, Gnosticism, the Kabbalah, pseudo-Christianity. And at this point, what he's actually dealing with, Todd, is that he draws a very rigid distinction, saying that within a person there is a false self and there is a real self. The false self, which he calls the ego or the mind or the attachment to form, basically the things we see, that is the source of all pain and suffering. We become overly attached by this false self, what we think we are, how we think we're tied to things connected around us, what we think we feel or believe. It's all false. It's all an illusion, and that is what the source of pain is. And so he says what we need to get back to and what we need to be living in every moment of every day is the real self, which is to Tolle our inner essence, that oneness of the universe, the God, quote-unquote, that he calls it. And if we are in line and in tune with that, we can have peace and joy and avoid suffering. And so basically what this is a blending of pantheism, which is from Hinduism, and blended with Buddhism, which is the basically attempt to escape from all suffering. And Buddhists teach that to escape suffering, you need to detach yourself from the world, because any attachments to the world is what causes suffering. So that's what we have going on here.
So this is why he will. I was watching a bit of their little class that Oprah and Tolle did, and they were taking phone calls via the internet from around the world. They claimed at some point to have about 500,000 people online at one time, all participating online in this class.
Yeah.
And they talked a lot about intense wanting. And it sounded to me very much like the Buddhist axiom, which is that man, the source of all man's suffering, is desire.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, and this is what, Todd, this is what makes Tolle so appealing, and this is what's making him confuse so many Christians, because some of the things he actually says has biblical precedence. For example, we're told, you know, to not seek the things of earth, but to store up your treasures in heaven, where it doesn't get moth-eaten, there's no rust, you know, no thieves steal it. The Bible consistently takes us away from being greedy, from being carnal, from being lustful, from being envious. You know, all of these things where we focus on what we want, whether it's health or wealth or fame or whatever. And so those things cause trauma to us. They cause us to be discontent. They cause us to be wanting and covetous. And so in that way, yeah, Tolle is right. We do get ourselves too attached to the world around us, and it often causes problems for us. His solution and his answer to getting rid of that, though, is wrong. You don't get those things out of your life and your attachments to those things out of your life by looking to the very source of what's causing those attachments, which is yourself. You need to look to God. You need to look to Jesus Christ, and you need to emulate him and look to him and start living the life, the Holy Spirit-filled life of a Christian, and allowing God to cleanse you and mold you and shape you and change you from the experiences you live through, and that's how you let go of those things.
One of the most mystifying things about Eckhart Tolle's teaching is he talks about living in the now, and the big problem, he seems to think, is with thinking itself. Here's Tolle again.
There is a stillness in you, because through thought you cannot pay attention to silence, because thought is noise. That deepest truth of human existence is already emerging in you as you sit here and listen, even now, simply by paying attention to silence through the inner stillness. That is the only way you can notice. The stillness in you notices that. And you have gone beyond the continuous stream of mental noise that for most people is who they think they are.
Okay, Rich, most of that just confused me, but I did get the part at the end where he says most people think they are what they think, in essence. Sort it out for me.
Okay. Basically, again, this is kind of blending of half-truths and half-lies. totally looks at thinking or getting caught up with dwelling too much on the things we see, the people we talk to, the experiences we go through with major sources of pain. And in some ways, he's right. We do think too hard about many things, and it causes us undue stress and trauma and strain. But he goes to the point where he even calls thinking a disease, and that is the source of all of our problems. And if we can let go of that and just sort of feel and have things resonate with us and exist more on an emotional, feeling-based level of peace and concentration of the inner self, then we're going to escape these things. Well, that's not what the Bible says. We are a complete and total being. We're to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have emotions, we have feelings, we have thoughts, and they all work together for us to bring us closer to Christ and for us to discover truth. And when it talks about, when the Bible talks about the real disease that is affecting us, it mentions nothing about thinking or being overly connected to forms around us. The disease that afflicts our soul is sin. The disease of sin, Psalm 41, James 5, 1 Peter 2, 24. And that's the disease that we're healed of through Jesus Christ, who came to cleanse us from that disease and heal us of that.
All right, then. It seems as though the goal, according to Eckhart Tolle, would be to clear the mind, I think he might say, of past and future, and live only in the present, in that stillness where you try your hardest not to think. And I guess if you listen to him talk, you might wonder whether or not he's actually achieved thoughtlessness at times. But some people listen to this and they say, wow, that sounds great. I would love to be able to forget the past, stop worrying about the future, live in the now, and simply be present. How would you respond to that?
Well, I'd say, you know, that's what God tells us to do, actually. We're to take no thought or worry about our daily needs. The Bible says God will take care of that. We're not supposed to say, okay, we're going to go here or go there tomorrow. No, we're supposed to say, you know, if God wills us to go here or there tomorrow, then we'll go there. So we're not supposed to get so consumed about, oh, where am I going? What am I getting? How am I going to achieve this? Sure, you make your plans, you lift it up to the Lord, but then you need to understand that you're really only living in the right here and the right now. For this moment, the only thing that's existing is you and I talking about this issue. I'm not going to be worrying about, you know, what's going to be happening tonight or tomorrow. And so in some ways, again, he has these life application pieces of advice that do work well. However, again, what he does, it always comes back to self, Todd. This guy and his teachings, no matter what it is, it always comes back to achieving maybe some good piece of advice he gives, to looking back within yourself, because you are God, rather than looking to the one true eternal God, your creator, who is out there, that's personal, who you can indeed look to for help and guidance and peace.
This is the difficult, or one of the difficult things that I've found in looking through what Eckhart Tolle teaches, and it is trying to discern, because at times he will talk about God, but I know he must mean something other than a personal divine being apart from creation, three persons in one Godhead, the Trinity, things like that. Sometimes he'll talk about God as though he were talking about himself. Is it that simple? You are God? Can his spirituality be boiled down to that?
Well, for him it can be. And here's the thing, too. Eckhart Tolle is a man of contradictions. He will say in one sentence that God is this basically impersonal energy force, source, life, essence of the universe that permeates everything. Now, you can't talk or pray to or love or have a relationship with something impersonal like an energy force. But then, because he, like everyone, longs to have a relationship with a personal God, he will suddenly switch and begin talking about this quote-unquote impersonal God in personal terms, saying he prays to this quote-unquote God. This quote-unquote God was leading him and guiding him. Well, that's an impossibility, because his God is nothing but a metaphysical substance, an omnipresent energy force, or impersonal consciousness. That's it. So there is this contradiction that's there. And to me, that's sad, because I think it shows that many New Agers, like Tully, want to have a spirituality that puts them in touch with a personal God, but they don't want anything else that goes along with that.
Folks, what do you think about Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth? Give us a call during this break, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or send us your email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Rich Abanis is our guest for another 10 minutes on the other side of this break. He's an investigative journalist in Southern California, award-winning author of 20 books, including his latest, A New Earth, An Old Deception. That's an answer I'd like here. What does Tolle envision for us in his New Earth? We'll be right back. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues, Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues, Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues, Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues, Etc.
Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll talk prayer with Dr. Ken Sherb. For the next 10 minutes, Eckhart Tolle's best-selling book, A New Earth, Rich Abanis, is our guest. Rich, here's another cut from Eckhart Tolle, where he makes a rather broad claim of his new spirituality, connecting it both with something you've mentioned before here, Buddhism, but also with Christianity.
When you're ready to hear that message, and that's really the message that is in every religion. That's the message, the central message of Buddhism is the end of suffering. And even the central message of the teaching of Jesus is finding the pearl of great price, finding the kingdom of heaven that is within you here and now, as Jesus says. And that, of course, is the end of living in a state of suffering.
All right, Rich, first of all, let's clear up something totally kind of tossed in the road there, and that is that this is what Jesus taught when he said, when you find the pearl of great price, you have found the inner self and the end to suffering.
Okay. You know, I got to tell you, Todd, when I'm listening to these things, I almost don't know where to begin because, and I want your listeners to know this, that whenever they hear Eckhart Tolle quote a verse from the Bible, he has always, every single verse I've seen him quote, he always rips it out of context, reinterprets it, perverts it, and makes it say whatever he wants it to say. When it comes to suffering, nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that we are going to escape suffering in this world. Jesus didn't teach it. The disciples didn't teach it. The Old Testament didn't teach it either, certainly not in the Old Testament. And we have the example of what this life is like in the life of Christ, who suffered terribly. Suffering, Jesus said, we're going to have it. He said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That is where we find joy and peace in the midst of the suffering that we endure and that we face on a daily basis. And unlike Tolle, who says we're supposed to escape suffering because it's the pearl of great price, no, we are supposed to deal with suffering as we face it, and through it, God molds us, changes us, shapes us, makes us more into the image of his Son so that we can reflect the glory of our Creator better to the world around us. That is the purpose of suffering. For Christians, we're supposed to go through it with God, but with Tolle and Buddhism, it's something to be completely escaped.
What does Tolle envision for us all in the new earth?
Well, you know, with this, I have to say I can empathize and I can sympathize with Tolle, because as I've watched him, I do believe with all my heart that he's sincere and that he is tired and grieved over the hatred he sees in the world, the anger, the malice, the crime, the wars. It's terrible, and we all know it's terrible. And he wants to see everyone, you know, come to this place where we understand we're all the same, we're all one in essence, we're all this God force, and so why would we not live with one another peacefully and in harmony, loving each other and making a better world? I really think that's what he wants, but unfortunately, and I think that's what Oprah wants, to be honest with you, but they're going about it the wrong way. They're not understanding that's not going to happen until Jesus Christ returns, and that's what a new heaven and a new earth is about in Revelation. When Christ comes, all things will be made new, and it will transform all creation that is fallen now and transform all of us. That's the day of peace and harmony and perfection that we're looking forward to. And until then, we're living in a sinful world with sinful people that, by God's grace, we can go to at least to get forgiveness here. And through the rest of the lives we live after we come to Christ, we can be changed and become more conformed in the image of his Son. That's the best that we're going to get here. We're not going to get perfect peace.
There was an interesting interchange between Oprah and Eckhart Tolle. When it came to the afterlife, she asked him a simple question: what do you think happens to us after death? And his response was simple, but also telling. He said, I don't give much thought to it. What do you think that means?
Well, basically, he doesn't give any thought to it. He doesn't know what's going to happen after we die, Todd. That he has no hope to hold out to people. He has nothing to promise them or to tell them about what's going to happen after we die. The best he can do, and the best I've heard him say, is sort of talk about death as some sort of reabsorption of our consciousness and life essence into the great metaphysical beyond. And that's about it. Now, you know, we as Christians have a way much better hope than that. We have an eternity with our Creator God in heaven, in the presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, serving and glorifying God for all eternity and experiencing no tears, no sadness, no disease, no corruption, no sin. And it's a glorious time that we can look forward to being perfected in Christ. And that's a greater hope than can be held out by Tolle, and I think that's the hope we need to share with people as we witness to them.
So what do you think accounts, other than the fact that Oprah makes a recommendation and decides to devote her precious time to basically running a seminar on the web for 500,000 people at a time with Eckhart Tolle, What do you think accounts for the success and the appeal of his teachings?
Well, I think one of the greatest appeals is that it is rooted and grounded in self. It is a me body of teachings. Everything is refocused back into the self. There's no personal God out there. There's no creator God out there. There's no accountability or responsibility to your God. There's no sin. Todd, there's no sin. There's no forgiveness. He doesn't even recognize absolute evil. Everything is just refocused back on knowing yourself, loving yourself, exalting yourself as the God essence. And by tapping into the power of the self, achieving for yourself everything you want, all your hopes, your dreams, your needs, your wants, health, wealth, you name it. And this is certainly not biblical, but it is very appealing to people, especially in 21st century America and even in 21st century Christianity, which has been infected by a lot of that. And, you know, we need to get back to the first century church and what Christianity was really about.
You say near the end of your book that what you believe happened to Eckhart Tolle when he had his great revelation at the point of suicide or considering suicide was, in fact, probably in psychological terms, disassociation, and that he's living deeply, deeply in denial nowadays. That does not sound like a healthy way to live for those who try to follow Tolle's suggestions and his teachings, spiritual teachings. I cannot imagine it having a good outcome in their lives, their relationships, or anything else.
Oh, I don't think so. I think at most it might help them negotiate for a very short period of time some current dilemma that they're having, or perhaps to remain more peaceful in the midst of certain things that might normally, you know, really throw them off or get them upset. But in the long run, when push comes to shove and some serious suffering comes along, they're not going to have anywhere to go. They're not going to have any God to go to or even any guidance from Scripture to help them get through it. Instead, they'll just be left with themselves, and you're not going to get anything from that. And so, you know, eventually I think people are going to start suffering the ramifications of this kind of teaching. And sadly, Christians who are listening to him and they're not taking the time to prepare themselves through Scripture about how to get through suffering, they're going to find themselves in a situation where they are going through something really difficult, and they're not going to know what to do. They're not going to know how to pray. They're not going to know how to view the situation that God has allowed in their lives. And we're going to see broken lives and broken people.
Rich Abanas is an investigative journalist in Southern California, an award-winning author of 20 books, including his latest, A New Earth, An Old Deception. Rich, thanks for being our guest.
Todd, always my pleasure. You take care.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk about prayer with Dr. Ken Sherb. Tolle writes, now I hate to quote Eckhart Tolle, but one more time. Jesus was a man who lived 2,000 years ago and realized divine presence, his true nature. That is completely backwards. Granted, Jesus was a man who lived 2,000 years ago, but from that point on, Tolle's wrong. Jesus is God. Not a man who realized his divine presence, his true nature, but Jesus was God who took on human nature, who took on human flesh, who was born of a virgin and lived a perfect life and died a perfect death as my substitute, as your substitute. He bore your sins in his body at the cross. That's who Jesus is. Far more than a man who realized his divine nature, Jesus was divine, taking on human nature for the salvation of the world. And the difference there couldn't be greater. One is merely a man 2,000 years ago, living like you live now, who somehow reached the goal of figuring out that he was really God. The other one is God coming in human flesh to be the sacrifice for your sins and save you from sin and death. One is the false Jesus. The other one is true. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.